morning, church. Good. Good to see so many familiar faces here this morning. It's good to be at the Ypsilanti Seventh-day Adventist Church. We miss you so very much. We send our greetings from the Forest Lake Church and the greater Orlando, Florida area. And I also appreciate Pastor Liverpool for extending an invitation to speak to you this morning. The message this morning is similar to the virtual encampment, the Lake Region Conference. And I like their theme. The theme is Jesus. You can't beat that. I mean, that's what it's all about, Jesus. And the sermon today is the same. Different words, but it's still Jesus. Let us pray. Loving Father, I pray now that you be with my mouth and give me the words to say, that we all will have meat in due season, that we all will know your good and perfect will, especially these days, these last days of earth history. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Riot, or Greenwood Massacre, you may have heard of it, which took place May 31 and June 1 in the year 1921, when mobs of white attacked black residents and businesses of the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It has been called the single worst incident of racial violence in America history. The attack destroyed more than 35 square blocks of the district. At that time, the wealthiest black community in the United States, known as Black Wall Street. Someone said that this is the largest crime scene in America that has never been investigated. The massacre left as many as 300 black people dead, thousands of black residents displaced, and millions of dollars in property damage. Tulsa's police department reportedly deputized white mobs and provided them with arms. Numerous reports describe white men with badges setting fires and shooting black people as part of the Greenwood invasion. This massacre has a direct relationship to the message this morning, cart before the horse. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here the word heart is used as a metaphor to describe the carnal mind that's apart from God. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Matthew 15:19, Jesus tells us, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. This world truly has a heart problem. I want to continue laying the groundwork for today's message by taking you back some 60 years to the late 1950s and early 1960s. Being a teenager at that time, I loved watching Western movies and Western TV shows. You know, shows like Gunsmoke, Rawhide, Bonanza, Wagon Train, the Lone Ranger. How about Hopalong Cassidy, the Rifleman, the Cisco Kid, Bette Masterson, and the Roy Rogers Show? The history of Western shows and movies depicted cowboys and Indians, gunfighters, outlaws, gamblers, soldiers, early settlers in the Western towns, the gold rush, stagecoaches, and wagon trains in Western United States in the latter half of the 19th and the early 20th century. But you know, watching those Western shows, I never saw a cart or a wagon by itself pulling a horse or mule. It was always a horse or mule pulling a cart or a wagon. The reason is that power to move forward was in the horse or mule and not in the cart or wagon. That's why we use the term horsepower when comparing cars and other vehicles. What about our spiritual lives this morning? Our walk with the Lord. The power to move forward, to love God, to serve God, and to do His will has never been in us as sinful humans. But power has always been in God, has always been in a loving relationship with God. He is the source of all power, amen? When most people discuss cars, sports cars, they normally talk about horsepower, you know, 400 horsepower, 500 horsepower, 600 horsepower. I remember a few years ago when I was in Germany, and I talked to a young man, and he was driving a Porsche sports car. And I said, what has been your top speed driving this car? And normally, he would drive it that fast on the Autobahn, the German superhighway. There's certain areas on Autobahn and you can drive unlimited. You don't have a speed limit. You can go as fast as you want. And he told me, he said, my top speed was around 180 miles an hour. I said, boy, that is a lot of horsepower. Many years ago, my wife and I attended a one-week family camp here in Michigan. I remember going horseback riding. Never forget it. There were a number of riders following the lead horse. You know, it started off nice and slow, and then the lead horse took off. And then as soon I was like this on that horse, riding side saddle. And right in front of me was a branch. I said, oh, Lord, save me. And I missed that branch riding this horse. And we made it back to the stables. And that was my first and last time riding a horse. But we know that the power was in the horse. You know, in the 1990, there were a worldwide hit song called The Power. In that song, my wife's cousin sung the words, I've got the power, a very popular phrase. But the truth is we do not have power of ourselves. It's God who has all power, amen? The power to save, the power to heal, the power to get wealth, the power to meet our every need, our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual need. Many times our spiritual lives, we put the cart, which is no power in ourselves, before the horse, all power in God, metaphorically speaking. God leads and we follow, amen? Again, it's God who has all power in his hand. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's why I like the song, Power Belongs to God, by Hezekiah Walker. Listen to these words. Great is our God Almighty, and he is strong at battle. Power belongs to our God. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow by day. I'm persuaded, come what may. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. Power belongs to God. Amen. God lead us and we follow him. It's as simple as that. All power belongs to God. And just like there is no power in a cart, there is no power in us, especially when it comes to salvation. All power belongs to God. We must believe God's power, again, to save us, to transform us, and to heal us, and to sustain us. We must believe this in our hearts and in our minds. The Bible talks about the power of God. Jesus says in John 10, verses 17 and 18, therefore, thus my Father loved me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have what? Power to lay it down and power to take it again. What about John chapter 17 and verse 2? Jesus says, praying to the Father, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In Hebrews 7:25, Jesus, wherefore he, Jesus, is able also to save them to the othermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. John 5:28 and 29, we find these words. Jesus says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, amen, and shall come forth, and they that would have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, what about man? Does man have power? Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as, and what, everybody? Unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:12 tells us, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. But we read, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's the difference? God seeks us, and we find that in Luke 19:10, and through the power and work of the Holy Spirit, we respond to God drawing us to himself. And that's Jeremiah 31:3. You see, the power belongs to God, and just like there is no power again in the cart, there's no power in us. All power belongs to God. Sometimes we think we're leading and God is following, but we have no power. We must believe, we must trust in the power of God to save us and to redeem us. We must pray for God's power to live in us through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. We are to put our faith in God's power and not in man's power. We choose to serve God, to make a decision to trust God because of his love for us, because of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Ellen G. White tells us in the book Steps to Christ, page 25, Christ is the source of every right impulse. He is the only one that can implant in the heart enmity or hatred against sin. Listen, every desire for truth and purity, every conviction of our own sinfulness or breaking God's law is an evidence that his Spirit is moving upon our hearts. You see, mankind has a heart problem, just like Greenwood Massacre of 1921. That's why we are saved by grace through faith only. God then writes his law in our hearts and in our minds, and we, through the Holy Spirit, come to love God and love his law. Amen? The end time three angels' messages of Revelation chapter 14 verses 6 through 12 reveals the power of God. The first angel's message is about the victory of God, God's everlasting gospel, the creator God, the God's vindication or judgment, when every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This judgment message also let us know that we are responsible for our actions and that obedience to God's commandments is the fruit of a saving relationship with him. The good news about judgment is found in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. God says, I will put my laws into your mind and write them on your hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The second angel's message of Revelation chapter 14 is about the failure of man, or the failure of mankind, or the failure of false religion. I believe there is a big difference between religion and Christianity. True Christianity involves righteousness by faith only. The book Steps to Christ by Ellen G. White, again, page 48, tells us, you cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affection, but you can choose to serve him. You can give him your will or your power of choice. He will then work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. What about the third angel's message of Revelation chapter 14? It tells us we are to choose wisely. the victory of God in the first angel message? Or if not, we're choosing the second angel's message, which is the failure of man. God tells us in Deuteronomy 30:19, listen to this, I call heaven and earth to record this against you, that I have set before you life, which is the first angel's message, and death, which is the second angel's message, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose what? Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The verse is speaking to us and applies to us today. In Revelation chapter 3, the end time church, what? Lacks three things. The end time church lacks what? Godly faith. It lacks the righteousness of Christ, and it lacks the eye salve of the Spirit. All three are gifts from God because God has all power and he wants to give us his gifts, his righteousness, his godly faith, and the eye salve of the Holy Spirit. 1 year, my wife and I attended a week-long camp meeting. During that week, we heard powerful messages on the subject, righteousness by faith. We're talking now cart before the horse. We ordered the tapes and picked them up at the end of the series. When we got it, the tapes read righteousness by obedience. And righteousness by obedience by itself is not righteousness at all. It tells us we need the righteousness of God through faith and trust in him in our lives today. We see genuine obedience is a natural byproduct of an ongoing relationship with God. Pandemic or no pandemic, let us put our prayers, our time, our talents, our finances, our health, and our life in the hands of Jesus, who has all power to meet all of our needs, including most of all, eternal life. And I just want to pause at this time. And the last report I saw dealing with the pandemic, there were over 600,000 lives lost because of this coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. Over 600,000 lives lost, passed away because of that. But you know, we go to Revelation 21:4, and it says that one of these days there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, because the former things would have passed away. And in 2 Peter 3:13, and I love that, it says that the promise, we look forward to the promise that God has given us. He's going to give us new heavens and new earth in which dwells what, everybody? Righteousness. So even with this pandemic over the last 16 months that have really altered our lives and caused many death, and not only death, but mourning from their family and their friends, people that have passed away. And because of that, I just want to take a moment of silence for the families that have lost people because of this pandemic. Can you just bow your heads with me just for a moment of silent prayer? Amen, amen, amen. In our daily lives, We need to reverse the cart before the horse and put the horse or power before the cart. We need to put Christ, the source of all power, first in our lives. Why? Because power to live right and to follow Him comes only from God. We need to trust an unknown future to a known God. I'm going to say that one more time. We need to trust an unknown future to a known God. Why? The answer is found in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. It says, what? We know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct our path. Amen. I would like to share now how Elijah, and we're studying in a small group setting the book on the life of Elijah. Elijah the prophet, experienced God's power during the time of Ahab, king of Israel. You can read the complete account in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. Listen, through the power of God, Elijah predicted a drought in the land. He was sustained by God in the Cherith Brook. He was sustained by the widow of Zarephath, and by the power of God, her son was restored. On Mount Carmel, Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven and consumed the Lord's sacrifice, and the people cried out, "The Lord God, the Lord is God." Elijah prayed for rain several times on the top of Mount Carmel. And then the rain came. Reading from the book, Live Like Elijah by Don McLafferty. Listen to this. We find these words. Man does not tell the Spirit of God what to do. The Spirit of God is in the driver's seat for the believer who follows God with full surrender. He, Elijah, was strengthened to do what he had no power of himself to do. He simply ran like he never ran before. Not 1 kilometer, but over 27 kilometers or 20 miles to guide the wicked king safely to his comfortable palace. Again, never put the cart before the horse. Always follow Jesus, put Him first in our lives. What about the thief on the cross in Luke 23:42? The Bible tells us, the thief said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Luke 23, verses 42 and 43 from the Clear Word Paraphrase Bible says, "Lord, I believe in you." That was the thief. "Please remember me when you set up your kingdom." Jesus turned his head toward him and said, "I promise you today, when I return with the glory of my Father, I will take you home to be with me in paradise." It was a prayer from the heart. A quality prayer, not a quantity prayer. Not full of vain repetition. Not full of much speaking. For God knows what things we have need of even before we pray. Jesus leads and we follow. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Listen to this. Apostle Paul gives us this message when we purpose in our hearts to daily follow Jesus. You show that you are a living letter, or you are a living testimony from Christ, written not by ink or with the spirit of the living God, but on the tablets of your heart. And we praise God for that. My appeal this morning is simple. Lord, I will follow you. You lead and I follow. I am imperfect without you. I am wretched and undone without your grace. Just like Jesus told Moses in Exodus 33:17, I know thee by name. It's my prayer this morning that God knows each of us by name because we daily follow him and not the other way around. And it's a message especially for us today, especially going through 16 months of this pandemic. We need more than ever to follow Jesus, to say, Jesus, you lead and I follow, not the other way around. You know, and sometimes because of fear and because of anxiety and because of the world that we're in, the political world, the other things that are going on that we see, it gets us, we get uneasy. We don't know what to do. Sometimes I was at a church and I know that we wear the mask, but people are uneasy. They're scared. They're frightful, full of fear. But we need to fall on our knees and say, Jesus, save me. Save me. Save me. And Jesus will. We know that this pandemic is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. Jesus has our back. Jesus will lead us down the road of righteousness. And he has something prepared for us we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine. But he has something prepared for us. So let's not get caught up in trying to figure out what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to talk and all of that, trying to figure this out. No. Jesus, he has all power. We have no power. So why are we trying to figure out things? We need to run to Jesus. Every moment we get, we need to run to Jesus, and Jesus will bless us indeed. Thank you for listening. No cart before the horse, but put Jesus before us, and we will be with him forevermore. Let us pray. Loving Father, we just thank you for your word in the Bible. Thank you that Jesus has all power, said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. So we have nothing to fear, nothing to fear. And then come what may with whatever new pandemic or variant and all of this stuff, Father, just keep our eyes on you. Turn our eyes on you and help us to walk in your footsteps. Give us your fruit of the Spirit. Give us that we may be partakers of your divine nature. And when we do that, we will have that love, joy, peace in our hearts. That love replaces fear. And Father, we look forward to the day that we will see Jesus face to face. And we would sing the song, even though some of us can't sing. But we'll hum the tune, Lord, saved by grace. Thank you, Jesus, saved by grace. So, Father, be with us. And we love you because you first love us. And we look forward to the day when Jesus break through the clouds to take his redeemed back home. May we be counted in that number to be with Jesus forevermore. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.